We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Is a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network. Let's talk Wolverines hoops. Live from the Pretzel Bell on Main Street in Ann Arbor, this is Inside Michigan Basketball. Over the next hour, we'll catch up with Juwan Howard and Kim Barnes-Arico to hear the very latest on Michigan men's and women's basketball. Here are your hosts, national champion Terry Mills and the voice of Michigan basketball, Brian Bush.
We got a couple of pinch hitters here on this Wednesday night, a special edition of Inside Michigan Basketball after the men took down Nebraska. The women are on the road. They are heading up to Madison for a matchup with Wisconsin. So we have two special guests, Director of Player Personnel and Development Jay Smith and former Wolverine CJ Baird will be on hand here today with the national champ Terry Mills. I'm Brian Bush. Jay, how the heck are you?
I feel a lot better than when you come off a win rather than a loss, that's for sure.
Weird how that charter tends to go a little faster in those situations.
Hey, the food tastes better, the dog looks better, your wife looks better, everything's better. I'm telling you, when you come back with the W, that's for sure, especially the way it kind of unfolded yesterday.
So what worked? What was the magic sauce? Was it a Jay Smith pump-up speech in the locker room?
Jay Smith doesn't know. I have no crumbs there, my friend. Trust me, it starts at the top. I think like anything else, I think it's early in the season. I said this the other day in our staff. Man, it's early, and I do believe there's still a growing process that we're going through with that many new players and the players we lost, and we don't have to go back and go through every player that has gone and is playing professionally. But right now, it's still finding rotations and dealing with some sickness and some injuries and illness, and every team has its own journey. And this journey is just beginning with this team. They're exciting. They're fun to coach. We're still building that chemistry and culture. It's always under construction for myself. And our whole staff has done a terrific job. But the fans know, when the ball goes in, things look a lot better. And last night, obviously, the ball was going in. And even last Saturday, the ball against Dutch's team was going in the hole. And same guys out there playing, guys are making shots, but guys are getting more comfortable. I think our defense is getting better and better each and every game. And we're learning how to win on the road and learning not to turn it over on the road, make shots on the road. and how to put together two halves of basketball to give yourself a chance to win.
Yeah, Jay, you and I just talked a little bit. How long does it actually take for yourself to unwind after a game? We didn't get into 1:30, and you're probably like a guy like me. We just watch basketball. We sit across from each other on the plane, and I'm hearing these kind of faint whistles, and they're kind of whistles of like gymnasiums that might not be stadium. So you're watching kind of any kind of game.
I do. I watch a lot of basketball. I do. I've got the YouTube channel, and I throw up games because I'm always looking and trying to help Joanne and our staff come up with different ideas and things that you possibly see. But during this time, and my wife of 37 years knows, like, this is kind of basketball time, even though you have to strike a balance in your life. And we obviously do, but when it's basketball season and we're traveling, we're getting home late, you're getting up early, you're starting that grind all over again. All the coaches do that. But it's constantly looking for new ideas, new thoughts. And in basketball, we were talking about this the other day too, is you steal ideas, just sure. Like football. I mean, you see something, you know, can we incorporate something like that the way we play? And, you know, you mix and match some plays together, and, you know, it kind of works for you. So you're always kind of looking for new things.
Yeah, when speaking of, you know, talking about those whistles that I'm hearing, you know, as we sitting across from each other, one time I asked you, I was like, Jay, what are you watching? What's going on? You were actually watching your daughter play.
Volleyball.
I'm kind of like, that's some different kind of
different whistles.
Yeah, different whistles going on.
It was a district volleyball game. You're exactly – regional volleyball game at Saline High School. It was. I was on the road. You miss some of those things when you're coaching, but you want to stay dialed in and – I'm proud to be a, what is it, dad girl or girl dad?
Girl dad.
And, yeah. Excited about that, which is really awesome to see. I'm so glad she's playing volleyball rather than nothing against women's basketball. But
sure,
it gets me to another sport, and it's exciting to see, and we really enjoy following it.
Yeah, I understand that. So who do you steal from the most? Who are some teams, coaches, players, scenarios that you really try to zero in on and maybe are on your favorites list?
I don't think there's any one, Brian, one team. What I try to do is, Synergy, for those out there that don't know, Synergy is a computer program that covers a variety of international play, all the teams internationally. So I go through and I try to find different – European ball is similar to college basketball, except they do a little bit better job of spacing. And they move the ball. They're four and five men play on the perimeter and pass, sort of like college, but not. We're not all the way there with it yet. So I watch a lot of European basketball. I try to look at some small colleges that I know that the coaches know what they're doing and kind of fit the way we try to play. And then you just come up with ideas and thoughts, and Juwan gives you the freedom and with our staff to kind of put things up on the board and, you know, and just look at different ideas and thoughts. But nobody, like, you just zero in on all the time.
Yeah, Director of Player Personnel and Development. What does that title kind of entail? Because I see you wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah,
you do a lot of things.
The title could be longer. There's some other things you could add,
it could
sure.
be recruiting. It could be a number of different things.
I try to give me the title Recruiting Coordinator. I just coordinate our recruiting as far as logistics, like ranking of players and try to organize where we're going and games and who's playing and those types of things and try to help our coaches to try to take that off their plate a little bit. I deal a little bit with our players' academics with Ashley now, who's coordinating that. So I kind of got my hands in that a little bit. And, you know, again, some of the basketball stuff. And then, you know, try to be close enough with our players to make sure they're going and being where they're supposed to be and be a lending ear, because obviously I can't be on the court physically coaching. So it's a little different role when they come to me, because I see it from where my vantage point, obviously behind the bench. A lot of times I'm behind Juwan there. He's blocking everybody's view. But
I like when he's blocking you, because he's not blocking me on that sideline either. Yeah, he's a tall guy.
So you kind of have a lending ear with that. And just you want to make sure things are running smooth. And then any fires that are out there, you try to put them out, T.
Yeah, it seemed like you were doing that even when you were coaching me when I was here.
Those weren't just fires. Those were bomb fires.
Yeah, wow. and you were a full-time assistant then, but it seemed like you were putting out fires then too.
Well, we got to hear some of those stories maybe when we come back with Jay Smith here on Inside Michigan Basketball. Much more to do here from the Pretzel Bell and on the Michigan Sports Network from Learfield.
Inside Michigan Basketball is on the air alongside national champion Terry Mills. Here's the voice of Michigan Basketball, Brian Bush.
And we're alongside the Director of Player Personnel and Development here for Michigan Men's Basketball, Jay Smith, on a Wednesday night special edition with the trip to Nebraska. And Jay, take me back to the very end of the game. It was so cool. We heard from Coach Howard and from Terrence after the game that this is a player-led program in a lot of ways, and there was a player-led substitution late in that game with Terrence saying, hey, let's get Ian Burns in here. And that was really special, and you could tell when I was talking to Coach Howard afterward how much that meant to him.
Well, in today's society, you know that young men, it's hard to sacrifice or to serve, and they don't always serve it. But Terrence has such a good heart and such a good family upbringing. He ran by the bench, and he's like, hey, we got to get Ian in. I heard him. I sit right behind Juwan, so I heard him. I was like, wow, those are special moments. For your program because it's selfless.
Yeah.
And those things aren't plugged by any coaches or any. That's coming from Terrence's heart and a good place. And he's a beautiful kid. And he just, hey, we're going to put him in. And Ian gets in there and he won't shoot it, though. The guys are trying to get him to shoot the ball and he passes and gets an assist.
I'm glad he got credit for that, too. You never know on the road if you're going to get that credit for the assist, but he got it.
He came walking down the bus, back on the bus. I said, the next time we put you in and you don't shoot it, I'm going to tell Juwan not to put you in again. So you better shoot that ball. All right? He goes, I got an assist. I said, that's good, but you got to shoot it. You got the whole team over here pulling for you. And those are neat moments, and that'll be something for him to remember, you know, as we go through this season. There's going to be many more for him, but he's really a beautiful kid too. Ian comes in and works every day knowing that you're not going to really play a whole lot. I mean, but that's the role he takes on and embellishes that role and grabs a hold of it. And he knew when he was coming in, a good shooter from Illinois, but he helps us prepare. And that scout team does a tremendous job of helping, especially, you know, prepare each and every game that's coming up here in the season.
Yeah, Jay, you can answer this question because you've been a head coach at one time. And, you know, when you're addressing illnesses and sicknesses and, you know, everybody wants to know what's going on in today's world. And, hey, it's such a – there. Somebody even asked me at the game, was like, is Musa here? And I'm kind of like, yeah, I think I seen him, you know, because can you kind of –
You know what, tip your hand.
Yeah, right, exactly. Can you kind of, like, explain that? I mean, that's gamesmanship, but coaches don't want to get a tip their hat until, you know – ball goes up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, the element of surprise is always a good thing if you're sitting on the other side, right? Because you don't want them to know and be planning. You want that to throw it at them and see them scramble a little bit to try to figure it out. Juwan doesn't really do a lot of that. Like, we just kind of kept it close to the chest, and we thought, well, maybe he'll be back. He had a little flu bug, and obviously he isn't, but he's obviously going to be over at the time we play again. But you just kind of hold that to your – because I know the guy came out and asked me, well, who's not right, here? And right. You really don't want to say because it's like, I'm not sure. Right. You with the program, yeah, but who's here? I'm not going to tell you.
Exactly.
You know, so you just try to a little bit hold that. I mean, it's a little bit of sportsmanship with that too, but eventually when you take it warm up and you start warming up and you don't see him out there, obviously he's not here.
Yeah, but from a coaching standpoint, you're going to prepare whether that player is there or not. It's not necessarily
exactly. –
You know, because exactly. I know that, you know, we go in the game sometime and they might have a shoot around and they'll let Tony them in, but they won't let me in. Like, I'm a spy or something. and I always say this. I'm like, our guys can barely figure out what we're trying to teach them from what I'm seeing. Now, all of a sudden, I'm just going to go in here and tell them, hey, they're going to trap you. They're going to do this or that. And they're going to be able to pick that up.
Terry, you're a basketball guy. They're gonna let him in without a question. You look like a basketball coach, guys. Sorry, no disrespect.
Yeah. All right. I'm on the Tony boat too. Yeah, no doubt.
They're gonna let you to it. Yep, they're gonna go. Well, Terry's played. He's too tight with Juwan. Or he's gonna give all the secrets away.
Yeah.
So I could see him being a little bit guarded with that.
Yeah, but I don't think the players would pick it up like that on the fly.
I agree totally. But
you're trying to get them to understand what we're trying to.
But
do.
As a head coach, all those superstitions play into you. You know what I mean? You start thinking about scenarios. Well, what if they tell them this, or is there somebody up in the bleachers looking down, looking at our walkthrough? You get a little freaky with it a little bit at times.
So I should put away the binoculars,
there
right?
You go.
That makes me look a little suspicious. I mean, you've coached for a while. How have you seen that change and evolve? Because I do think that there was more of kind of an open book nature to sports, you know, a few decades back. It has gotten more now, I mean, you can find almost anything out there now, whether it's on Twitter or online, social media, whatever it might be. How have you seen that evolve and that gamesmanship, as Terry was talking about, kind of go from where it was then to now?
Well, I think everybody in here probably has – they're looking at their cell phones, so you have cameras and videos. You can just click and, you know, you can click a play and look at it and send it to somebody. So I think that changes that whole dynamics a little bit with that. But it really comes down to those – you know, you watch so many – we know what the other team's doing. We watch film. We scout. We walk through. We prepare. There's not a lot of secrets that are out there.
Sure.
There really isn't. They may throw in a new play, a new out-of-bounds play, you know, something that might throw a curveball until we figure it out on the fly. But a lot of times you know what's going on, and it's up to the players to execute, stay with the focus. And then, you know, with a young team like us, is battle the bad moments. Like when you're not making shots, your defense can't falter, and you can't base your game on – you know, just on making a shot. Like you have to, it starts at the defensive end for us, and we need to make sure that we're solid there, and then the shot will come, and sooner or later they start falling for you. And, you know, we're the same team now, except we made shots, and we were against North Carolina in the second half, and we didn't make the shots. You know, so that's part of it, but we're starting to, you know, we're starting to get a better feel for one another. We're getting a better feel for playing with each other, especially on the road. I think those games at North Carolina and out in Vegas really help you grow as a team. I think that's really important for us.
Yeah, when you talk about recruiting and we have recruits come in and you take them out and show them a good time, tell me what a recruiting trip looked like for yourself in 1979.
It sure as heck didn't involve lowering the video board, which I believe this is the mastermind behind some of those pictures you've seen from people we can't talk about.
I don't even remember what happened on a trip. We stayed at some Holiday Inn, and I mean, you just walked around campus and nodded. Everybody said, "Well, do you have any questions?" Well, I was from up north. I mean, we didn't know what was going on. My parents weren't graduates, so we were like, I didn't know what to ask, and they're showing you all these buildings and meeting people and shaking hands, and you're like, I was a fish out of water. I didn't know what to expect. I went to Bowling Green to play because I loved the locker room. It was all cachet, had a slush machine, a free pop machine. I'm like, I hit the jackpot.
Right.
I don't think that's the differentiating factor anymore, believe it or not. What does a – again, we can't talk about specific players,
right.
but say, you know – Terry Mills is coming to Ann Arbor for a visit. What does that look like for you, and what do you hope to accomplish? Other than, of course, saying, yes, I'm going to play. I want to play here now. What are you hoping to show them and give them a vibe of?
Well, I think, number one, it starts with our basketball staff and really building relationships. I think, CJ knows. I mean, we're relationship-based. We're family-based. That's where it starts and ends with Juwan. I mean, that's a big, big part of who he is. The nice thing with Juwan and our staff, I mean, they walk campus with the recruit. They're with them the whole time with the family. They build the connection. That is – because let's be honest, everybody has big buildings. Everybody has beautiful arenas because the ones we're competing against all have – I mean, we have a few different amenities that a team might have over here that we don't have, but we have this and they don't have this. So it kind of balances out, but it's that relationship and that connection. And – I think, like any parent, you want your young man or woman to develop as a person, both on and off the court, and want to get a degree that will kind of trigger their future for forever until they retire. Because one day the ball stops, as we all know. It stopped for me, it stopped for Terry. And those are the types of things, relationships and things that we try to build as they come on campus. And we try to get everybody involved, from the athletic staff to all of our players. We do some activities with them without getting into specifics, but to really build a bond when that young man leaves here, he's like, that's where I want to go. And try to, in that whole thing, try to create a few wow moments where they go, this is really a cool place. And I think that's what makes really Ann Arbor special, because of the town, the people, the following, the relationship, Juwan Howard, our coaching staff, our support staff, our academic support staff does a tremendous job with parents and understanding what the Michigan degree will do for you once you leave here and the brand that it can build.
Jay, what's the biggest difference between head coach, assistant coach, so first chair, second chair? What's the biggest difference in your eyes?
Wow, that's a great question, because I think everybody on Juwan's staff has really – an equal input. I don't think one's, Phil gets more percentage than Saadi or Howard or, you know, I the nice thing, it's all of us together, and that includes support staff, and that's Jaron Simmons in video because he watches a ton of video since he's analyzing and cutting tape, and he just input from everybody and leaving our egos at the door. I think that's the biggest thing, is because when you start thinking you're better than the next and you have all that in-house arguing, that hasn't happened here. I've been on staffs where it's been really tough.
Okay.
Really tough. This staff has just been so awesome. Phil, Saadi, Howard, Chris Hunter, Jaron Simmons,
Colin,
yeah. Our GA, everybody. I mean, you see us on the plane. You see us working. Yeah. Everybody's involved, and there's nobody – there's nothing too small or short for anybody to do. Everybody kind of picks each other up, and if something's not going right, we try to fix it.
Yeah, I think that's probably where Coach Howard gets the 4 feet in attitude that he always talks about, because, like you said, I don't know who has a scout that day, because so many of you guys work at it, and it's like, well, whose actual scout is it today? You
know, exactly.
So you have no idea.
Yeah. There isn't. I mean, it disperses equally, and everybody has input. Nobody's like, well, my way is the right way. The right way is what fits best for Michigan, what Juwan thinks it is for our team. And he's opening ears to new ideas, new thoughts, no matter if you're, you know, player director, player personnel, or if you're associate head coach. I mean, he's always looking for something that helps Michigan and helps our program.
It all added up to a big win at Nebraska last night. We'll come back with Jay Smith. One more segment here on Inside Michigan Basketball from Learfield.
Inside Michigan Basketball is on the air alongside national champion Terry Mills. Here's the voice of Michigan basketball, Brian Bush.
Great to be here on a Wednesday night at the Pretzel Bell in downtown Ann Arbor. We'll be back to our normal Monday schedule each of the next 2 weeks. But the Wolverines were on the road at Nebraska before that game. We're with Jay Smith here tonight. San Diego State came to town, a unique opportunity in a game that wasn't supposed to happen. Some late scheduling changes came about, but you had an opportunity to see Coach Dutcher, to play and compete against him. What was that like? And it was really cool hearing Coach Dutcher talk about how much it meant to him to be able to come back.
It was really cool. I see Dutch for sure at the convention every year, and Terry knows we go back. He was office mate. Yep. We kind of came up through the profession. My first 7 years here at Michigan, we shared an office, so we were close. We've seen each other's kids. We kind of know each other's families. So real quick story: I bought a home my first time here off of Wexford Court, and I was there for probably 6 months. And Dutch comes in and says, "Hey, I'm buying a house." I said, "Really? Where are you buying it?" He goes, "Two doors down from you on Wexford Court." So Dutch was also my neighbor, okay. Two doors down. But it was great to see him. I actually had reached out to Fish to see if he was going to fly into it. He's had a lot of stuff going on, and he didn't want to kind of rain on Brian's parade a little bit because it's his team. It's a new era for San Diego State basketball. But it was great to see him. It was great to see Juwan and him embrace. I thought that was really a cool moment because – he was kind of the trigger guy that recruited Juwan here. I mean, he was. I mean, he did a lot of the legwork and was staying after it and really built that relationship. And that's why Juwan Howard's here now, is Brian Dutcher.
So, is it true? I saw somewhere it said that he watched Juwan play for a month straight. Can you confirm that during the recruiting process?
Well, if he did, number one, it'd be a recruiting violation. Okay. So you're not going to get me there, Brian. Just kidding, everybody. All right. I'm just teasing, all right? There's a statute of limitations. We're safe, all right? No, I'm just teasing. During the summertime, you're going to those camps, so you're seeing kids play. You know, at that time, I think it was a 10 or 12-day windows at a time where you could just sit. And we would sit on the top players. I mean, you had to.
Sure,
because if you weren't there, somebody else was. Yep. So you have to sit there. And, I mean, after a while, you start seeing the warts. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like all of a sudden, the first couple of times you see him, you're loving it. It's like, oh, my goodness, he's terrific. And then you start nitpicking, going, man, he doesn't do this very well. He doesn't do that very well. You start diving a little bit more into it. You know, it's like that girl in class that was really good looking. All of a sudden, you start going, there's a few things here I'm going to talk about. But you start looking more and more. But could he have? Yeah, I mean, I think it might be inflated a little bit with that, but sure. there's long stretches where
those stories, we, those stories, out,
yeah,
those
they start stories, to grow. Yeah, that's obviously, how it works. Obviously. For sure.
Yeah, they grow a little bit. I mean, I can't verify that Dutch probably called me about a month straight in the NBA about how bad we needed to get Juwan. It was like, if we get Juwan, everything else will fall into place. Please call Juwan. Give him a call for me. He would love to hear from me. So I can't verify that.
For sure. For sure.
Very important.
Just the different things that happen behind the scenes, trying to get things laid out that people don't know, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, Jay, if you could talk to me a little bit about the Anderson Athletic Center. Obviously, we talk about you wearing many hats. It seems like maybe you had the architect hat on then.
Are you talking about over at Kate College?
Yes, I am.
Kalamazoo College. Believe it or not, when you're in a Division III school, you wear like – 4 or 5 hats.
Yes, you do.
So I ran the athletic center as far as scheduling times for the, you know, 18 sports that they had that would come through that area and plug them on a computer. And I'm multitasking, you know, no question.
Oh, yeah, when you work at those small colleges like that, I coached at Henry Ford, and you had to get there early and kind of work them out.
No question.
Clean the floor. So.
You know what? It's not bad because you really appreciate, though, where you're at now more. I enjoyed the student-athletes at this Division III level. They are true student-athletes. They're paying their way to go there. They love the sport. And I enjoyed my time. I had 3 years there. I really liked it. But I'm so glad to be back and be part of Juwan Howard's staff. It's terrific.
Give us a little sneak peek at Saturday. Minnesota comes to town, Big Ten home opener for the Wolverines. They're off to a strong start. They play Michigan State here tonight in their league opener. What have you seen from the Gophers?
Oh, I've watched a little bit. I've just started diving into today, obviously, because we just got done. I don't like to work too far ahead because
sure.
I'm not smart enough to figure out all the different plays and watch 3 different teams at 3 different times. I'm like, focus on this one, then I go to this one and this one. But they basically have rebuilt a program with transfers and brought in a lot of transfer portal kids. So they've totally revamped it. Robs does a great job. He's been around some terrific coaches. He's really trying to get a Minnesota flavor of player there that has Minnesota roots. I think he sold him on that when he got the job. And I do. I think there's players in Minnesota that are terrific, just like there are in Michigan. I think he's building it that way. I think he's really running some good sets. They're going to run some good stuff against Michigan State. And we're going to find out today. I mean, they've played Pittsburgh to a one-point game, beat them on the road, and they beat Mississippi State down in
Starkville.
Starkville. Yeah. So two pretty good road wins, and I think you're going to really find out now against Michigan State if they're contenders or pretenders. It's one or the other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's going to say a lot. I'm anxious to watch them tonight at 9. So
yeah.
Yeah, Jay, you talked about, you know, you guys being off today. A lot of players still come in and continue to work. How do you break down that schedule? Do you say, okay, we're off today, tomorrow we're going to work on – either the bad stuff we did against Nebraska, or do you just say we're going to work on ourselves, the next day we're going to start working on what Minnesota's doing? How do you kind of break that down?
That's interesting. Juwan's finding his philosophy is that you have to move on a little quickly. So what we try to do tomorrow is basically work on Minnesota things, and then we'll look at Nebraska stuff on Friday. We'll show some edits and some clips, but like to dive in and get involved in the Minnesota stuff on Thursday, and then look at a little bit of Nebraska, still Minnesota on Friday, and then obviously walk and talk and do some things like that on the court. Obviously 2 days of practice and 2 days of prep is good. We build our schedule because I do it. We do it on Google Calendar. We build it out to the end of the year so we know when all of our off days are, so the assistant coaches and stuff can plan recruiting trips around off days so they don't miss practice. So it's a, you know, it's a line of communication has to be great. Juwan always talks, and CJ will contest to this. You got to have 10x communication, you know, because, you know, if you don't, you know, your family falls apart. So you got to constantly, you know, it's usually my wife giving me the 10x communication. It's not me giving it to her, that's for sure. So, you know, the nice thing about your iPhones now, right? Your wife puts everything on, and there's no excuse. She's got you. It's right on your phone. All you got to do is look at it. It's like, oh,
those notifications, they linger, there's man. Linger.
It keeps coming up.
That's right.
No, but that's how we kind of try to build the schedule out. That's how we try to prepare. And depending on how in-depth it is or how many days off, I think there's a couple times this season we have 3 games in 1 week, which really makes it tough. So you got to kind of flip quickly because you don't have time to sit there and spend 2 or 3 hours evaluating your past game. because you got to get ready for the next one. So he'll pull some clips, but not a lot, so we don't get dwelled in some of that stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to dwell on, you know, that game. I mean, it's kind of like once you play it, it's behind, and he's ready to move on.
He's ready to move on with it for sure, but making sure we do show some so that we don't miss teaching moments to help us build good habits.
Yeah, Jay, tell me this. As far as, you know, a player is concerned, how long would you say it takes a player to actually finally get it and then apply it to a game situation? I mean, you can teach it all you want, but can they apply it to a game situation?
I think, Terry, that fluctuates with what type of player it is. If you come from a system of a lot of set plays, you'll understand our league's a lot of sets. They run a lot of set plays. If you're from that, it kind of picks up. If you're one that you only ran a couple set plays, it takes them a little bit more time, but that's where we use our iPads, and we send edits to the iPad. They can look at them so mentally they can rehearse and visual. And everybody's different at learning. Some are visual audio learners, but a lot of guys want to see it. And then when we go through it, we walk through it again. We do it at a slow pace, and that way they can feel it, see it, and then repeat it at a high pace. And you hope they get it. They don't always get it, you know. But I think another thing in this whole scouting bit is fear's a good motivator. If you think that guy's real, like he's going to come off, you're on your horse a little bit more. You know that. Exactly. When you play, you're like, hey, I better get out of here. Like my engine's got to be running here or I'm going to be in trouble. So, and CJ's going to talk a little bit, but, I mean, he was another real – him and Luke Wilson really good at, you know, remembering things and helping the other guys run sets. And we'd stay after practice and run through plays with some of the freshmen that were still learning it. But it takes a little bit.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest transitions actually coming from college, from high school to college, was probably picking up on a defense. Because, I mean, you obviously played no defense in high school.
None.
It was like, where's the midline? Like, what are you talking about,
a midline? 3,000 points. I didn't play any defense. Right? I've run the other end of the floor. Give me the ball. Shoot.
That's right. You're right. You scored 3,000 points in high school.
Before we let you go, any good CJ stories before we bring him up here?
Wow. Any good CJ stories? Man, I'm stumbling right now. I wish I should have prepared. I didn't know he was going to be here.
I know. I'm sorry.
I try to think. I mean this. CJ and Luke Wilson and the guys that played last year was really a tight-knit group. But CJ admit that was built over time.
Yep.
That didn't happen in 2 months. I mean, that happens over time. And I just, you know, I think I told you, Terry, Franz last year, if you folks remember, the first 4 or 5 games last year, he couldn't shoot. I think everybody's like, what's wrong with Franz's shot? He can't make any shots. It just takes time, the speed of the game, getting accustomed to new teammates, and being, you know, they key on you. They're going to key on Hunter a little bit more. You know, you got to get adjusted to that. Once you do, I think it takes off, and everybody's got to be patient, and, you know, we just try to keep the noise to a minimum and keep marching straight, stay positive, and continue to build a good mindset. And Juwan does a terrific job of making sure we stay in a good mindset.
Jay, we appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping
by.
We'll talk to you on Saturday.
Hey, I want to thank everybody here. I appreciate for listening to me. I appreciate it. Thank you. I was afraid nobody was going to show up today. All right?
We do have CJ Baird coming up next as you listen to Wolverines basketball from Learfield.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We
We're live at the Pretzel Bell for Inside Michigan Basketball. Here again, Brian Bush and Terry Mills.
And we've got a fan favorite still. He doesn't play for the Wolverines anymore, but still a fan favorite here in Ann Arbor. CJ Baird alongside. Hello, CJ.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm great. So before we're going to talk, because you've been breaking down the Wolverines. You are transitioning to your next phase of your life. We'll talk about your thoughts on the team and on your career, but just give fans an update on what you're doing right now, both within the kind of the basketball analysis side and elsewhere.
Yeah, so to start, actually, I'm still at Michigan pursuing my master's in accounting here. So I went to Ross Business School for undergrad, got my bachelor's of business administration, and I always wanted to be an accountant. I got really interested in undergrad. So I'm actually sitting for the CPA exams, hopefully starting in February this year. Finishing up finals for my first semester of my master's school. I'll graduate my master's in May, and I actually accepted a full-time job at Ernst & Young in Detroit. So very excited about that. And like you said, I've kind of transitioned into keeping involved in basketball. I've actually started writing for Rivals and been doing some analysis on the team about what I've been seeing, what I've been thinking. And it's great. I mean, I played for Coach Beilein and Coach Howard, so I can kind of see the game in both of their lenses, which is they're very different from differing backgrounds and stuff like that. I find myself, my writing is very nitpicky, which I gotta cut down on some of the things I nitpick about, but I think it's kept me involved in basketball, and it's really gotten me interested in looking at, like, commentating, looking at just viewing the game from a higher level and trying to share what I've learned from the coaches, from the wonderful time I had here in my 4 years. And my main goal is to share with everybody what I've learned, whether that's on the basketball court or beyond. I mean, Michigan's the university that keeps on giving. I got to play 4 years of basketball here. I have a great business education. I have a master's school. And I have a job from that, and I also got to write about basketball. I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything more, and I'm really grateful for my time of playing basketball here, and I'm grateful to this university.
You hear that, Terry? We better watch out on the commentary side, you know?
Watch out for CJ.
Well, hey, we'll put you to the test, and we'll talk about what your thoughts are on this Michigan ball club when we come back on Inside Michigan Basketball from Learfield.
We're talking Michigan men's and women's basketball live from the Pretzel Bell in downtown Ann Arbor. Now, let's head back to the show.
We're with CJ Baird, former Wolverine. No women's talk tonight because head coach Kim Barnes-Rico and the Wolverines are heading up to Madison. They play tomorrow, 9 o'clock. You can hear that call on WTKA in Ann Arbor with Matt Park on the call pregame at 8:45. So, CJ, you've watched the first nine games of this Michigan basketball season. What have you seen? What stands out?
I think obviously what stands out, we all talked about, was the youth. And Terry made a great point earlier about, like, picking things up defensively, especially from a younger unit, is really difficult. Like, it's very evident, like, especially Caleb Houston's very evident his basketball IQ on the offensive end. He's a fantastic shooter, really smooth player as a whole. He definitely fits into that system very well with a lot of spacing, ability for him to come off of ball screens, a lot of handoffs they've added this year, especially for him. Mm-hmm. But defensively, actually, there's a funny moment from Saturday's game against San Diego State. I don't know if everybody had seen Coach Howard actually stepped onto the floor during a timeout and was showing the Michigan team during a timeout where they needed to be. And from my perspective, it was actually showing Caleb Houston where he needed to be defensively. He was in a gap area that seemed, he's playing a little too close to his man, which allowed one of San Diego State's players to drive right around to the rim. And one of the key things as a freshman is you're really concerned about your individual performance, like what's going to keep me out there. And a lot of guys think incorrectly, I might add, that playing on-ball defense and scoring is like the best thing you can do. But being aware on defense, being able to help the guys that need it, and like for Caleb, I think being able to rotate, like Musa, something Musa does really intuitively well, is play great help defense. And that's what's going to keep you on the floor long term. So,
yeah, well, when, you know, speaking of, you know, making adjustments, you had to make some adjustments coming from Coach Beilein to Coach Howard. What were some of those biggest adjustments outside of terminology? Because I know terminology was real big.
Coach Beilein, actually, I think he ran out of words for certain plays. He came up with, he had every single animal. I don't know if he made something up middle of sophomore season, calling something a flamingo screen. I still don't know what that was, but he said flamingo, and it was like, okay. So I think outside of the terminology, I think there's a lot of differing styles, especially like we go back to defense again. You have Coach Yaklich with Coach Beilein. Coach Yaklich is a fantastic defensive coach, now head coach at University of Illinois Chicago. He had a completely different defensive philosophy than what Coach Howard came in with. So what was interesting is a lot of the bigs that Coach Beilein had would hard hedge on the like perimeter, like really far away. And now Coach Howard has guys like Hunter that stay closer to the rim defensively that are more of a presence inside. And I think that was so tough because it was the exact opposite of what I had been doing for 2 years. Now I had to readjust again. So
yeah, well, I had talked about it on the broadcast about Coach Howard actually, that play you're talking about going out on the court. I said that's kind of like what coaches do in AAU. You know, just walk out on the court and show you exactly where you need to be. And you know, I think I seen one of the officials one time like, hey, you can't be out here. You got to get off the court.
Ask for forgiveness, not for permission in that situation.
There you go.
There's no doubt. Now that you're outside of it, right, and you have obviously some real knowledge of what goes on in the program, you know many of the players who are on that team. I mean, what's that like? And does this team do things differently this year that you've picked up on from what you guys did last season?
Yeah, I think it's very different being from the outside looking in. I think there's sometimes where I want to know more about what's going on the inside. But like we talked about off the air, I think it's really interesting to look at something from a higher level and really learn more about a team by seeing the way they play on the court. I think what's become evident in the last two games, I mean, it's obviously more fun to win, but there's total growth. And what coaches like to say is they learn a lot from losses. And losing to North Carolina last week, losing against teams like Arizona and Seton Hall, those losses you can really see against San Diego State, against Nebraska, two teams that they needed to take care of, and they did so in convincing fashion. The team really adjusted when guys were doubling Hunter Dickinson in the post. They definitely added some new actions there where he could throw passes. There's a lot more spacing on the floor when Hunter's getting doubled. So it's not just, I'm going to get the ball and pass it right back out again. They've worked on stuff from those losses that made them lose those games, especially on the offensive end. And the dividends are really paying off now, and I hope it can pay off Saturday.
Yeah, CJ, we were usually around you guys a lot, but because of COVID, we weren't around. And I seen you walk out on the court, and I set up, and I'm saying to myself, like, what is CJ doing out there picking up hardware again? And you were out there picking up a ring, and I was just like, man, this guy picked up a whole lot of hardware since he's been here.
Yeah.
It was a great 4 years for me. I mean, obviously, we won the Big Ten tournament my freshman year, went to the Final Four my freshman year, and then we actually were in competition. I'm still a little salty about it, but we should have won a Big Ten title my sophomore year. We lost to Michigan State at the end of that year in the Big Ten tournament, the championship game, and at Michigan State for the regular season title.
Yeah.
Junior year, I mean, it's kind of a wash at the end of the year. We didn't have Big Ten tournament, whatnot. And then last year, winning a Big Ten regular season title and arguably one of the toughest college basketball seasons anybody has had. I mean, really blessed to be a part of those teams.
Yeah,
you talk about starting out being a team manager. What was that process like before you got on the team? I know Coach Beilein used to have this big tryout of just like people trying out. What was that like, and how did you actually get on the team? And did you ever play in that manager's game? That's the next thing, that when they go on the road, they had this big manager's game.
Oh, man, CJ would go off in those games.
Yeah, did you pick up any hardware? That's what I'd be asking.
I think I came to practice as a manager because I originally wanted to be a walk-on. So my head coach from high school, Bill Dyer, got in contact with the Michigan basketball program, and I talked to Coach Beilein. They didn't have any spots. So they're like, you can be a team manager and still be around the program. And I came to Michigan for the academic prowess. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to get a good education, so I came here. And this was kind of just a bonus thing. I was around the team, kind of learning there. And my first day after practice as a manager, the older managers thought it'd be funny to be like, okay, we're going to have the five freshmen play like on a team together. And we're all the older guys, the bigger, stronger guys that play basketball all the time. We're going to beat up on them. So it was me and the five other freshmen, and they didn't expect me to be that good. And I actually went out there, and I think I had 7 or 8 threes within the first 5 minutes against all the seniors. And they were like, oh, my gosh, like, why don't you play? And I was like, I don't know. And what actually happened was – Coach DeAndre Haynes, one of the assistants, saw me playing that day and was like, hey, would you be interested in trying to walk on if something opens up? And I was like, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't the main reason I came to Michigan, but I think it would really bolster my whole experience. And somebody on the team ended up quitting like 2 weeks from that day, from when I played in that manager game and coach saw me. Coach Beilein said you need to have an open tryout, and they had like 80, 90-something kids there. I went and played, went did my best, and they took me, which was awesome. I mean, that was a dream come true. Coach Beilein actually pulled me into the film room and announced it, because I was already a manager, so I was at practice, and he said, you need to come up here. We're going to have a big announcement, and kind of knew it was coming, but I mean, that moment I'll never forget.
That is awesome. There were some great memories with CJ here in a Michigan uniform. We'll reflect a little bit on that as we continue along with Inside Michigan Basketball right after this from Learfield.
Let's return to Brian and Terry for more of tonight's edition of Inside Michigan Basketball.
Wrapping things up with former Wolverine C.J. Baird. And, you know, it was interesting. You talk about that great moment of getting onto the team and going from student manager to playing. And I always think about what happened 2 years ago at Nebraska where, you know, you heard from Jay Smith earlier, hey, Ian Burns probably not going to play a whole lot. You knew coming in you probably weren't going to play a whole lot, but that was a game where Michigan had some injuries. Xavier Simpson was unable to play, and you went out there and played in the first half, played 8 minutes. There were a lot of cool memories for you and a lot of great wins, but I have to imagine that's way up there at the top that, hey, you were in, and you were in when the game was very much in doubt.
Yeah, and people ask me this a lot, actually. It's like, what was your favorite memory? And, of course, I mean, I had that shot against Texas A&M in the Sweet 16 my freshman year, and obviously that stands out as a great highlight in my career. But, I mean, thank you. Yeah. I think
Well, that's a highlight of mine because it kind of felt like I knew what I was talking about because when you got in the game, I was like, if CJ gets it, it's going. You can count it.
Yeah, you said he was going to shoot it and he was going to make it. And that there were two great calls from Terry in that run. It was the Jordan Poole shot, which was volume here, and just below it was the CJ three. It was close.
It was pretty close because I said, hey, if he lines it up, you can count it.
Darn right.
And there it was.
And Jay said something earlier, too. Like, they just got freshman walk-on Ian Burns in, which is I was so happy about. I was watching the game last night. I was like, get the walk-ons in. Got to love it. Ian's going to learn quick. You have to shoot. You have to shoot. And I'm no stranger to chucking up shots at the end of games. So I think I've been lucky with a lot of blowouts in my career. I've actually passed up a former walk-on of my Luke Wilson. There's actually a couple pictures where I'm, like, double covered and I'm shooting the ball. And he's wide open trying to beg for it. It's like, yeah, I mean, if you're the walk-on, you got the shots up. But,
that's
yeah,
right.
I mean, like, getting back to that, I think that was obviously a great moment in my career. But playing meaningful minutes in the first half from Nebraska with a lot of injuries, I didn't even know I was going to play. They didn't tell me anything, which actually I'm grateful for because it relieved some pressure off of me. I just went out there, and I think coach just called my name, and I was like, oh, is that me? And then somebody looked down at me, and I was like, oh, that's me. I got to go in. I got to go in. So took my stuff off. And I was a little nervous waiting at the scorer's table, but once you step onto the court, it's like, I've done this before. I've done this for it was my third year now. I've been part of this team, and it's like, I can do this.
It was pretty cool. It was great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for coming out. Continued success, and good luck with exams. When's the next one?
I got one Monday at 4 o'clock. So,
think good thoughts for CJ.
Yes, please.
Coming up Monday at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. CJ, appreciate it, my man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank
There's CJ Baird. We'll come back, wrap it up right after this on Inside Michigan Basketball from Learfield. Back here at the Pretzel Bell on Inside Michigan Basketball. We got one more quick segment with CJ Baird. So give us the scout on Minnesota. If you watched any of them and what do you see in that one? They've won all their games so far.
Yeah, so the beauty of not being a coach, I know Jay say he hasn't spent too much time about it. I mean,
you get to look ahead.
I get to look ahead. And I got the time for it. So I actually one of their players that's been around a little bit and Peyton Willis is one of their best transfers. I see him as the head of the snake of Minnesota. He's really a great ball handler. He may not be their leading scorer. I know Battle is their leading. I think it's Jameson Battle is their leading scorer. Mm-hmm. Both of them are really a dynamic duo. Minnesota's actually changed up their offense a lot, and they rely a lot more on quick buckets, a lot more double screening action at the top of the key. They're trying to get their ball screen guy. They're trying to get guys downhill with their ball screens, and they're looking to draw fouls on drives. So I think they only have three guys that really shoot threes at a high volume. So they're really trying to get to the rim and put pressure on Michigan.
Yeah, CJ, as you go on and now you're about to become a CPA, how many of your former teammates have asked for your service or asked for that discount?
So I've gotten a couple questions about that. It's great to see guys like former teammates, like we talked about pros. I mean, you see Shaundi Brown just signed a two-way deal with the Lakers, which is huge for him. Isaiah Livers signed a fully guaranteed deal with the Pistons. Jordan Poole's doing great. Duncan Robinson's doing great. Mo and Franz are doing great. It's just so amazing to see the success. And people talk about Michigan in the NBA, and it's really taken over. And I'm grateful to be say, yeah, I play with that guy. I'm sitting the random guy. And he's like, yeah, I play with him. So hopefully I bring that to some games.
That is awesome. Again, CJ, thanks so much for stopping by. Terry Mills, great work as always. And thanks to all of you for being here tonight at the Pretzel Bell in downtown Ann Arbor. We will indeed be back with the normal Monday show from 7 to 8 coming up each of the next 2 weeks before the holidays. Michigan men's basketball with that aforementioned clash against Minnesota. 6:30 tip-off, a unique one at Chrysler Center. Kim Barnes-Rico and Michigan women's basketball will take on Wisconsin coming up tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, with that tip-off from Madison. Thanks to Tony Butler, our engineer, and the entire staff at Pretzel Bell. That's it for this edition of Inside Michigan Basketball from Learfield.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Inside Michigan Basketball, live from the Pretzel Bell. Whatever the occasion, Pretzel Bell is Ann Arbor's hometown favorite. Pretzel Bell on Main Street in Ann Arbor. If you missed any of tonight's show, subscribe to MGo Blue Podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.